That's right. The Drive is live.
We're back.
The Drive is live. They are back. Calm down, man.
Number one. Oh, we're back. It's a Tuesday. That's a Monday. We're back. We're live. Let's go.
That one in the holster, boy. Saturday must have been like straight sex for Tyler.
It was fun. What was more fun were the clowns on Twitter. I had a blast Saturday.
I bet you did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was super awesome.
Your Aggies, your quarterback, your young quarterback.
Marcel.
Looked a lot better than what Texas's quarterback brought forth. We'll get to that because I do want to get to Arch. But football is back, baby. This game week, damn it.
Hell yeah.
We got the Eagles and
about damn time.
Parsonless Cowboys coming up in 2 days. We got the Chiefs and the Chargers on Friday. Got another good college football slate. And then the NFL full go on Sunday, including the Texans as they travel to L.A. to take on the Rams. So a big thing real quick. We talked a little bit about Arch, and we will talk about Arch because we had to. That was a big story we missed yesterday over the weekend. But what the hell happened to Bill? That one... I'm not going to say I was surprised that they won. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt like Bill would figure defense out pretty quickly. Like I thought the Carolina defense would be not coming out of the half in a game where you're still within striking distance and the first play of the game is a 75-yard to the house. That surprised me that his defense, maybe the offense may struggle a little bit, but the defense, they just seemed to just not know what the hell was going on. That one surprised
me. Hey, if you watch that game, Chief, they could have hung 70.
They could have. I had to turn, man. I started watching Hunting Wives.
They could have hung 70. They could have hung 70 on them cats, man. And it was, I'm going to tell you, man, you look at it, Bill just can't get right. Bill ain't been right since Brady left his ass. And Matt Patricia goes out there.
He did make the playoffs the first year after him. But then after that, boy, it was. They started bringing in Ohio State's defensive coordinator, who, shout out to Matt Patricia, who's able to flip sides of the ball. He was an offensive coordinator last time.
He's done it all, man.
And now he's the defensive coordinator.
I'm sure he learned a lot while he was on the offensive side of the ball. I'm sure he learned a lot, these guys.
But no, man, that one, I didn't see it. I mean, not an ass kicking like that. Where their TCU and Sonny and Kendall felt like they could do whatever the hell they wanted to do all game.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a big Sonny fan. I'm a big Kendall Briles fan. I know Kendall personally. His time is at Arkansas. I knew him a little bit before that, but I got to know him really well at Arkansas. It's good to see. I was rooting for them boys in that situation. Everybody picking Bill Belichick, talking about how great Bill Belichick is and what they're going to do and how they're going, you know, how great he's been. You see what's starting to pour out now, which I think this is convenience, right? And this is the world we live in. All of a sudden, there's reports of how Bill was going about his recruiting, leaving kids hanging in the lobby and never meeting with them after flying them in kind of deal. And, boy, they're starting to surface. I don't know how real those reports are, but we're going to see if Bill can bounce back.
He did have a top three transfer portal.
Well, hell, I think
in the ACC.
Well, hell, I think they had 70 new kids on that team.
We'll see.
I heard him say last night 70 new players in that program.
Yeah, he did the Deion thing.
That beat Deion.
Except Deion beat TCU.
That's right.
Did the Deion thing, except they beat him.
Deion invited everybody in there with his Louis Vuitton luggage comments. It is interesting.
Except Deion brought his son with him, though. That's the difference. Yeah, that Lopez fella. Tyler, I swear before God, and I will get to the text. When I saw Brad Johnson's kid walk out there, I said, Max Johnson is still in college?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he is. Absolutely.
I thought we were beyond COVID years. Max is old enough to get. How in the
he
hell?
He got a medical. Did he get a medical last year?
How many medicals?
I don't know how many he's had.
I'm not sure.
He quarterback for Jimbo and not Jimbo's last season.
It's the same age as Bill's girlfriend.
I think he was there with Cozada.
Yep.
Cozada,
nope.
Or whatever.
Bill's girlfriend and Max are the same age.
I did not know that. I was fixing to ask how old he is. That is great.
That terrible thing of when it was 41-7, that was her age when he was 41.
When he was 41, she was 7?
Anyway.
That is tremendous. I must have had the volume turned down.
They did.
For her.
Kirk Herbstreit.
Kirk didn't bring it up?
No, he didn't say that. I just saw that.
Never would he do that to the great Bill.
No, not Bill. He was petting his dog. But
what is Bill going to do, man? How you rebound from this one? That was an ass-kicking at home with all the world watching. Right? Did you see Bill's pregame, the Holly Rowe interview?
Holly Rowe, yeah.
I mean, come on, man. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
That's what he always does. But that's him and Greg Popovich.
When you got 6 championships and you're in the league, 6 Super Bowls and you're in the league and stuff.
You know, Teddy Bruschi said he focused.
Come on, man. You can't go to college. I mean, that was awful. Why would he do that to her?
It wasn't just to her. Bill does that to everybody.
Come on, Bill. And that's good for you. Go out there and get your ass whooped for being such a stiff man. That was good for Bill.
Yeah, it was.
Good. Boy, after that first touchdown, they panned that damn crowd at old 24-year-old or whatever sitting up there on that rail, just watching, smiling bigger than I'll get out. Oh, Lawrence Taylor up there, filling himself.
Michael Jordan's ass was up there filling himself.
Oh, yeah. And then, boy.
Dan Gummit was up there. Roy Williams is up there filling himself.
Wind came out of them sails, boys.
We're on to Charlotte.
Yeah, we're on to Charlotte.
You're right. That's about right. I wonder how that's going to play in college.
All right. Listen, so a coach that has had success lately, D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Texans. It's go time now, and he already has talked about this. Speaking to the media yesterday, you hadn't heard this. He's already telling you what he's been staying up about is the key of the game Sunday.
This game, I think ultimately, it is right now, as I continue to go through it in my mind, I think it really hinges upon both offensive lines blocking two really talented defensive lines. The Rams have one of the best young defensive lines in the NFL, Verse, Fisk, I mean, Turner, Young. It was a young group, and those guys play, they get after it. They play relentless. They're tough. They're going to be a really, really good group to challenge our offensive line, and the same for their offensive line versus our defensive line. We have a really good group up front under the strengths of our team, and we have to, you know, it's going to be a challenge to see how that shapes up, but both offensive lines are going to have to play well, and whoever wins that battle, I think, will ultimately decide the game.
Yeah, I think he's probably pretty accurate right there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, this is both of these teams can be, you can say, are driven by their defensive line. Thing is, the Texans have a little bit more behind that defensive line than I think the Rams do in terms of a secondary. But nonetheless, I do think the story in this game is about the lines of scrimmage, right? And I tell you, Ron, people are going to spend a lot of time talking about these defensive lines, and rightfully so, and that's fine. I mean, I can't wait to watch our defensive line eat, no doubt about it. It's going to be entertaining. But the big question here is, D'Amico mentioned one of them, which offensive line plays better. And I have no idea what we're going to get out of our offensive line.
No idea what we're going to
get out of the Texans' offensive line. But I'm going to take it one step forward, one step further. The other part of it, the offensive coordinator. I got a little bit more faith in their offensive coordinator, knowing what he's working with and kind of working around some of the hiccups and some of the issues that they may have.
You mean Sean McVay?
Yes. I mean, I got a little bit more confidence in his resume. Now, that may be foul. Some people may say that's foul. I've never seen Nick Caley. It's just a matter of having never seen him. The offensive coordinator is going to play just as much into this game as that offensive line is. Hands down. No question about it. And you can obviously throw the quarterback in there with it, but it is going to be, this is a game about, yes, offensive line play, but you better believe that 1B, if that's 1A, 1B is offensive coordinators.
Yeah, and I think these things are connected, Clint, in this game, is especially from the Texans end, as you said, got a little bit more confidence in how they navigate it with McVay and Stafford. But with the Texans end is what is going to be very crucial, and I don't think this is just up to the offensive line, is can they play the game in which they are dictating how they go about business. You know what I mean? Like, can they dictate when they want to run the ball?
Yeah.
When they want to pass the ball? When they and not forced into the Rams defense being able to dictate. And that could be dictated by score. That could be dictated by the success they get into the run game. That could be dictated by a lot of things. But to me, is the one thing, again, like you said, I don't know exactly at all what the Texans' offensive line is really going to do when they get real bullets, real game plan against a team. But I also really don't know what they look like when their opponent knows, has a pretty fair idea of what they're going to do. Like, that's the other part. And I think that's just not going to be good for this offense anyway. So I think a big key to this is that they get to dictate how Nick Caley's able to call the game. Right? Like, the running game's going to be extremely important.
Yeah.
The Texans' defense, keeping the game to a space that they can run whatever they want to run, is going to be extremely important. Because, as he said with that D-line, I got to believe, as he said, he's thinking up, he's staying up a lot, D'Amico. I think the thing that D'Amico probably really stays up a lot is, you know, what happens and how does my offensive line perform when Jarrett Verse and Young and that group know more times than not they got to drop back the pass.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big key, is can they dictate how they run offense in this game?
Yeah, and look, the other part of this too, Ron, is I think whichever head coach, obviously whichever head coach, their expertise, you got offensive-minded Sean McVay, you got defensive-minded D'Amico Ryans, that matchup is going to dictate how this game goes. And the Texans are just not built right now in a way. I don't think they're built. We'll see. I don't think they're built in a way to get into a quote-unquote shootout. Now, I don't believe this is going to be like Tampa Bay a couple of years ago, but if Matthew Stafford, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, and company, if they come out there and all of a sudden they have their way and score a few points early on, what does that do for the offense? So this is a D'Amico Ryans defensive coordinator versus Sean McVay offensive coordinator. D'Amico's got to keep Sean under wraps to give his offense a chance to get their feet wet, get a feel for what it is, to give his offensive play caller a chance to get his feet wet and feel what he wants to do and how he wants to approach it and be somewhat comfortable in his first game. So, yeah, man, I it is about O-line play, no doubt about it. It's about the offensive coordinator being able to handle it. But I'm telling you, these two head coaches matched up head-to-head is going to be must-see TV.
Yeah, I don't think that, and maybe we've been able to just watch this group so much, I don't think the Texans are going to allow the Rams to have this as a shootout.
Oh, I don't either.
Now, listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I mean, Puka and Davante Adams and I mean, they got some dudes over there now, and Matt Stafford is, at least at this point, borderline elite. Sean is an elite, you know, play caller and designer. So they got some stuff, but this Texas defense is so good, I don't think it's going to be a shutout or shootout. But if they roll out here, Clinton, and this combination of Nick Chubb and Damian Pierce and Woody Marks roll out here, and it's 2.5 yards a carry, and you know it's stopping them, and you're looking at a lot of third and sixes and longs, the game might be close, but still, that means the Rams get to dictate what is happening, and they cannot. They've got to get out of that.
The point is D'Amico's got his hands full with some really, really with future Hall of Famers. And he's got to do. And I agree with you. I don't think it's a shootout. I don't think in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it's a shootout. But D'Amico's got to stymie this offense in a way that's going to allow his offense some breathing room.